everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And today, I have a great guest. I'm excited to have him on. It should be a lot of fun talking with him. I'm going to bring him on real quick. His name is Dr. Stephen Hirfield. So welcome to the show.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here, Nancy. My pleasure.
You know, totally. I was reading your bio and all the things about you. You've done a lot of things. So what I'd like for you to do, is it okay if I call you Stephen?
Sure.
What I'd like for you to do, Stephen, is maybe explain to listeners kind of what prompted you to start your journey, because it's gone on for a pretty long time, and you've got a lot of interest in discovery. So could you tell them a little bit about it?
Sure. Actually, I wondered why, as a child, God was picking on me, and my life has, since that time, pursued that idea. I didn't have the greatest, if you would, of childhoods, at least in my perspective. In fact, one day I was sitting back in the state where I'm from, the state of Virginia, and my youngest brother looked at me and said, "Hey, thanks, bro." And I said, "For what?" And he looked at me and said, matter-of-factly, that when I was around, they felt safe because they knew that Dad was going to pick on me. And from that point, I began to realize there was something more to life. And I just became grateful for my dad, things he had gifted me, even though it wasn't easy at all, actually. And I began to look for meaning, substance, understanding, who am I type thing. But, yeah, that's kind of where it began.
Stephen, do you think a lot of people, when they are children, kind of go through that same thing about who am I? And, you know, a lot of the kids today, and I have to relate this to mostly today, because a lot of the kids today, you know, most of them have been diagnosed with ADD, ADHD, and they're put on all this medication. And I have a strong objective to that. But the thing is, do you think that the children of today are having a really hard time trying to figure out who they are because of the energy that may be in the world as it is?
I would say absolutely. To me, people, we are not the same in any stretch of the imagination. Like, when you think about something, Nancy, 15, maybe 20 years ago, when we look at the idea of education, and we look at the idea of education today, I think the kids today are extremely intelligent, and the educational system doesn't address that high level of intellect. And because of that, I think they're bored. I talk with a lot of kids because of what I do. I'm an intuitive. And when I hear what they have to say, I'm floored, I'm appalled, and I'm impressed because our educational system hasn't grown. It hasn't grown to match the idea of the kids that are coming in today. No, not at all. ADD, what is that? We call it attention deficit. Why? Maybe it's because the attention isn't being intrigued or challenged or looked at. It's just say, this is what you have to know, and here we are, and you have to know it. So what we're taught is how to pass tests. We're not taught how to use our intellect. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I agree. Yeah, and I'm just going to mention this real quick because you talk about the school system. I have a 501c3. It's called A Child's Miracle Mind with a leg to it called the School of Now, which is a total different system that I'm trying to get financing for so I can set it up.
Well, good for you.
And it's using the 1-2-3s, ABCs, but it's including all the metaphysical knowledge, wisdom, techniques that we have, that they have, that nobody is addressing.
I don't know if the modern education system is ready to handle the idea of metaphysics, especially in light of the fact that most institutionalized programs discount it. But the idea of metaphysics is the study of cause, And kids today are more interested in cause than result. And I think until we get into the reality of this study or acceptance of cause, I think we're going to be faced with the same, how do I want to put this, delusional idea of what life is about.
Oh, I agree. So, I mean, that's what I'm trying to do. But let's get back to you because I have some questions to ask you. Now, so as a child, you kind of really went through some of the things that the kids of today are going through.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you were kind of always advanced.
Was I always this advanced or advanced?
No.
I think a lot of the kids today are challenged early. I mean, children today are extremely resilient. And that's not to say that we never have been. I think throughout the idea of time, children have been resilient. And one of the things I found is I would have to say this, that people of spiritual consciousness, people of higher mind, they are more challenged as children as opposed to adults. And I find people that have been sexually molested, I find people that have been physically, mentally, emotionally molested, I find that very common in children in the last, 25, 30 years of being. And I think the interesting idea behind that is like my dad, I'm extremely grateful today because of the experience of him as a child myself. But how do we get the children of today by that? How do we get them to understand that it is actually, and forgive me for the sounding of this, but it is, it's absolutely a gift. And why is it a gift? Because it stretches our ability to comprehend. It stretches our ability to reach higher dynamics of self because of those horrendous ideas, if we will, of childhood.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely hope that makes sense. Good, because today I think we teach a lot of how to, let's say, look at the past, but we don't teach in a way to let the past be what it is. You know, one of the things I learned as a monk, I spent many years as a monk in India and Nepal, is to look at life just for what it is, not for what it's not. It's like psychology teaches us you have to change the past. How can you? That's something that can't be rectified and day in and day out life. It just can't be. Why? Because I know these things happened to me. I know they occurred. And then they want to program us and give us the idea that we can look at them differently. Yes, we can. But the first idea is this is what happened. Mm-hmm. This is what my life was. But it's not what my life is. And I think a lot of the people that had difficult childhoods have a gracious opportunity to live a more empowered being. How? By living through who they are today, not who they were, not what their experience was. And that's what I write and I talk about all over the world.
Right, because you also go out and you do lectures. And you also spent time in Vietnam.
Yes.
And that's kind of where you really got introduced to the monks, was in Vietnam?
Yeah, actually it was. Interestingly enough, because I didn't like my childhood, and I have to be candid about that, and when I got my draft notice to go into the military in 1967, I thought, oh good, I can end this. Because of the idea of Vietnam. And I was walking down the streets of a wonderful little village called Koh Ngai, Southeast Asia, and I spied this gentleman across the street who was in robes, and I thought, wow, what's up with that? And he scurried across the street, and he came up to me, and he stuck his finger in my face, and he looked at me and said, "Young man, you must learn to use what you have, or what you have will destroy you." Well, he had my attention. Mm-hmm. And I decided that, well, I wanted to know what the heck he was talking about. And he turned out to be a Zen monk. At that time, I had no idea what that was. And that Zen teacher began a journey for me that I had no idea where it was going to ultimately lead, mm-hmm. Which had ultimately led to what I know and understand today is Stephen. And that's that there's more to life than pain, emotional pain, mental pain, physical pain. There's life itself is the ideal. It's the gift. It's the experience. And I'm extremely grateful. But, yeah, that actually started in South Vietnam. And because I'm not a person that believes in coincidence, I figured that's why I was there ultimately. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't believe in coincidence either. I just think things are meant to be kind of the way that they have to turn out so you can learn. The other thing is that because of that, you continued to have more questions and a bigger search because a lot of the normal, let's put it normal, things that people were saying, I'm sure, really did not compare to what you learned from the monks.
Actually, I thought after after my experience as a child, and then working with my teachers in Southeast Asia, I even felt I was more strange. And what I mean by strange is we all look for a place to fit. And I think that's the caveat. Mm-hmm. That's the key. If for no other reason, Nancy, where does an individual fit when we look at the notion of individuality? There's you have a fingerprint that matches you precisely. Mm-hmm. And what most of us don't realize is we could spend an exorbitant amount of time in attempting to, well, I could say, I want to be like Nancy. Or people could say, I want to be like Stephen, or I want to be like this or that. You can't be. You, like I, am all, we are extremely unique only unto ourselves. You know, in my teachings in Southeast Asia, India, Nepal, they all taught me the same thing. I am a unique creature. And what I have to do, if there's a have to, is appreciate and accept the beauty and the magnificence of that idea. That's the gift. That's the idea of life. That's the idea of difficulty as a childhood. That's the idea of being a human, is simply coming to, well, if we can, that notion, coming to understand that that's me. I'm not you, I'm me.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, people have a really hard time taking a look at themselves and deciding that they actually like themselves and love themselves. And a lot of it has to do with the way society has, you know, told people basically this is what you're supposed to do versus really, as you're talking about, as a unique individual, what you're doing and should be doing for yourself. I think people have a really hard time with that thought because no one has, you know, really, well, I shouldn't say it. It's not that no one is presentative, but people are just now starting to talk about how you are an individual. When they start talking about the DNA, you are an individual. You know, your thumbprint, your fingerprints, you are an individual. But people, for whatever reason, Stephen, I think, have this fear of being who they are because, one, they're not going to fit, two, they're not going to be accepted, or three, they're not going to be good enough.
You know, what's interesting about that idea is we are taught from the time we're born, Nancy, comparative thought. And when I say comparative thought, that's like comparing me to you. Well, you're a wonderful lady, and I'm a male. If I compare you to me or me to you, then what do I understand?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Why? Because we're different.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all taught from the time that we're born to wear our baseball hats backward or forward, or to wear these clothes or those clothes. There's an intriguing thing to me, and that's this, that science tells us that in the history of the world, no two snowflakes have ever been alike.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that important? I would say it's because of this, that when the Creator creates, it creates unique experience. Now, let me say that again. When the Creator creates, it creates unique experience. And when we look at the idea of unique experience, we as human have a hard time with that. Why? Because there must be a relationship from one experience to the next. Mine, say, versus yours. Well, how can that be? Can't be. One of the things I was taught as a monk is to appreciate unique experience. The idea of individuality, the idea of unique self, and celebrate that. Where, may I ask, have you or any person listening to the show ever heard that? I don't think there's any place.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it's not what we're taught. We're taught to fit into this groove. We're taught to fit into this idea or this principle. And the interesting thing is you, nor I, nor anyone listening to the show can actually do that. Why? It's called uniqueness. It's called specialness. If we understood the idea of the Creator, if we understand that, the idea is individual expression, and that's the truth of life. And for us to be who we were born to be, and that's the epitome of the individualized experience of unique expression. It's called self-acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
I could ask any of your listeners out there, do you accept you for who you are? Do you appreciate you just simply for who you are? That's an intriguing question.
Mm-hmm. Most of them would probably go, I don't know. See, and I think like you, and like what you've been taught, and I always have, because I like me. And
good
it's
for
not
you.
An ego thing. I mean, I think that I've done a lot of the right things that I was put here to do, and that's basically helping people. But I like me. And when people, you know, who don't know me, and they go, man, she's got this big ego. And it's like, no, it really isn't ego. It's kind of called self-awareness. And with self-awareness, you don't have ego.
No. You can't have ego with self-awareness. I believe the path is ego to understand the truth of self-awareness, yes. And a lot of people get caught up in that. And they do tend to think that it is ego. I mean, you, as well as I, know that from the time that we're born, we're told this, that if you love yourself, then you are hoity-toity, or you are holier than whatever it is that anybody out there wishes to call it. But let me assure somebody, everybody, of a very simple idea. Nancy, if you don't love you, how in the world can anybody else love you? More importantly, if you don't love you, then how can you, as an individual, love anyone else? Truth is, we cannot.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that is an idea that people can wrap their minds around if they take the time to do it.
If that's the thing, that little word there, if. Because, you know, I do tons and tons of counseling, and some of the things that I tell people are exactly the same thing, Stephen, that you're telling the listeners right now, because it is so important for people to like themselves and love themselves. Because again, like you said, how can somebody else do it, or how can you feel that way towards somebody else? You know, there's always, you know, a hang up there with people who really don't like themselves or love themselves, or maybe they don't know how. And that's, you know, that's something that they, it's there. But a lot of times, like you said, it's taken away, and people have to go back to basics to find out who they really are so they can like and love themselves. You know, and it's like a catch-22, but it's not really a bad catch-22. There's one thing on your website that I would like. First of all, Stephen, give out your website where people can go to it and, sure. and find out more about you, because it's pretty interesting.
Sure. It's Hairfield, that's HairField.com. I'm a person that's just spent time in life finding out, if you will, the secrets. And I have to be candid, Nancy, if I might, and it's this, that out of all the thousands of and millions of miles I've traveled, there are no secrets. Because if there were secrets, they still wouldn't be known.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of life is simply this. If you want to understand life, then understand you. If you want to understand you, then accept you. And if you can accept you, then you can appreciate the idea and truth of life. And those things and those ideas you would find on my website at Hairfield, that's HairField.com.
Which is good. On your bio, one of the things that it's at the very beginning, and it says this is a question that you ask your audience when you're giving a lecture. Can you repeat that question and then explain why you ask it?
Well, the question was first posed to me when I was in India, millennia ago, it seems like. One of my teachers, Master Lobsang, looked at me and said, "Young man, what if what you call your God heard everything that you thought and considered that a thought or that thought a request to give you that as an experience? Would you change the way that you think?" My answer was, "Well, yes, Master, I would." Now, here's the deal. What if every thought that every human had was indeed a request for the creative powers of the universe to give you that as an experience? And that's the essence of the question. And the truth of the matter is, that is the truth, because that's what I learned. That's what I came to realize, is that's the essence of life, that we are as creative. I don't know about you, Nancy, but I was not born with an eraser in my hand. I mean, if I wanted to create something, I could do that, but I couldn't erase it. I couldn't change it. And us as individuals, we spend a lot of time in the essence of undoing. And that's the idea behind the question. You can't undo anything. What you can do is you can do. And then what you have to do, if there's a have to, is accept what you've done. And then take what you've done and move it into a new paradigm and or new direction. But that was the most dynamic question of my life. In fact, I can honestly say, in all sincerity, it changed my life when I fully understood the paradigm and paradox of the question itself. Because the Creator hears our thoughts and gives us that.
And it's all the time. And I don't think people quite realize that, mostly because their thoughts, according to basically the energy today, usually tend to go in a very negative direction rather than in a positive direction.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
One of the hardest things for people to do, from all the counseling that I have done, is to take that negative direction and turn it around to that positive direction that they really want from their heart. But logically, they're standing in their own way.
I love the way you said that. You know, we both agreed on something at the beginning of the show, and that was, in essence, this, that there's no such thing as a coincidence, that everything happens for a reason. Everything occurs for a specific idea. And if that's true, then where's mistake? Where's failure? Where's the idea of right and wrong? If everything happens for a reason, then there's a reason behind it. And if there's a reason behind it, then there can be no error. You know, when we look at the idea, biblically speaking, in the book of Genesis, it says that now we are just like the Creator. We know the difference between good and evil. But if we look at the ancient Aramaic interpretation of those two words could also be interpreted as, we know the difference between truth and error. Is there anything improper about truth? Is there anything improper about error? The answer to both of those questions is no. But when we look at the idea of good and bad in modern society, then we can say, good and bad, yeah, well, good is good and bad is bad. No. What we can do is look at the idea of truth and error and realize that there is only truth, and then there is separation from truth. The separation from truth is what creates the error.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that just made sense.
Well, it does to me.
I hope to the audience.
I'm pretty sure that it did to a lot of the listeners, too.
Good.
Because it truly is back to basics. As far as mind, thought, heart goes, I should say, because they're all very much intertwined with each other. And it's really hard for a lot of people to separate those three things and still kind of be who they are.
The basic idea of the human is more about heartfelt than thought. I like to share with people that I'm a person that's free of thought. I'm not a person that analyzes. I'm not into figuring out what my mind is doing. I'm more a person that's into allowing my mind to be what it is. I mean, it's kind of like this. Nancy, I would no more in The Man in the Moon make a decision without having a feeling about it than anything. I mean, if you don't have a feeling about a thought, then maybe you should really look at you. In other words, this. If I love the idea, I'm going to do it. If I have no feeling about the idea, forget it. It is not happening. To me, the greatest dynamic of the human is our ability to feel, our ability to love. It's our ability to discern, and I'm going to say discern in that realm of what we feel. And to discern, it's not about what we think. It's about what we feel. There's the dynamic that's important. There's the dynamic that we could even say is missing in life to a great degree right now anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because people are really very much afraid, it appears, to feel.
There's an interesting idea, and I'm going to share with you as to why. If you look in the history of the world, I would say the number one subject, if you were to pick as a book that's written or that has been written about, is the idea of love or the idea of feel. Yet, let's all consider something. When we look at the idea of writing, it's intellectual. So when we look at the idea of love and then we write about the idea of love, what have we done? We've intellectualized an otherwise emotional experience. Once we've done that, what have we done? We've turned an absolutely magnificent emotion about us humans into an intellectual concept. Once it's an intellectual concept, then what we have is intelligence, not emotion. So it's been removed, is my point.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the interesting thing. Once it's been removed, and I write it in a book, and then you read it, then what have you now done? Haven't you not intellectualized the same idea?
Mm-hmm.
Because I've written about it, you've read it, And now we've taken an otherwise magnificent emotion and we've put it into the realm of thought. And heavens, I hope that just made sense.
It does. Now, you have written some books. So
yes,
let's talk about the books that you have written. And, you know, talk a little, say what they are, the name of it, and, you know, a little bit about each one, because there's a few out there.
Yes, there is. The newest book is a metaphysical interpretation of the Bible. I love to share with people, one, that it's about everything the churches don't want you to know. It's about everything you can be that they do not desire you to be. It's not about that I downplay the idea of the Creator or of the Christ or of the Bible. Not at all. In fact, should you read them, you'll find that what I share with people is no. They are, it's very succinct information on the idea of consciousness. And what I've simply done in my newest book is I've taken the idea of consciousness and I've used the ideas presented in a biblical text is to say, here's what you are actually being told and here's how you can live it. That's the newest. Part of that is a book entitled, Messages of the Ancients, Return to Innocence. It's how we've never lost our innocence. We just think we have. And the first is a journey into life. It's why we choose life. It's why we as soul decide to experience physical form. And those are basically the three books that have been produced by me. And what I continually am about, even in the show this evening. If people want to live, you must live through yourself and through your experience. And that's basically what I've written about in everything that I do. The CDs I have, which is The Power of Thought, which is about what if God heard everything that you thought, considered it a request. The Seven Mirrors of Relationship, it's why you experience the relationships you do. It's basically a monk's eye view in the CDs of why each and every one of us have the experiences that we do in life without question.
Mm-hmm. If they wanted to get, you know, the books or the CDs, Stephen, where would they go to get them?
My humor is the usual suspects. You can go to Amazon. You can go to Barnes & Noble, virtually any bookstore. You can also go to my website at Hairfield. It's HairField.com and InnerCirclePublishing.com. You can go to any of those places without question, without hesitation. Yes, ma'am.
Good. Again, okay, so we do have a caller on. So, caller, are you there?
Hi. Hi, Nancy. I do
How
have
are
a question. I'm good. I do have a question for you and your guest, and it has to do with my daughter who's very much awake, but not necessarily flowering in today's sense of the word.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. Since your guest has had been awake early on and in our world, maybe it might have some insight or some guidance that could give me as a parent for her.
Right. First thing I would say is when you look at your daughter and you say that she's awake, is she awake in your mind or in her mind?
Let's put it this way. She has awakened me.
Ah, so you have your own teacher, and what you're attempting to figure out what you can do is what you can do with your own teacher.
I hear what you're saying, and I know the pun on the words, but I think because she has such a safe harbor in her mother, which is me, and I adore her, and, you know, she has great insight, she's, you know, has her abilities already up and going, but I don't necessarily see her taking any leaps into the world or any stretches for herself.
She's not gonna. She's not going to right now. How old is your daughter? Four?
No. She's 11.
11. Okay. Why do I get four? Well, four is stability, numerologically. Your daughter is she's going to shy away from society because of what she feels is her difference, or what she feels as she does not fit. Those are okay. Allow her to have that experience, if for no other reason. The experience of, well, here's something odd, if I might, but the idea of separation brings wholeness. And what your daughter is doing is experiencing how to be whole in a society that is extremely fragmented. And I hope that just absolutely made sense for you.
It absolutely makes sense. So in a way, she's stewing in her own wholeness while the society around her is a messy.
Yeah. Society around her, to her, is kind of like a joke.
Big joke, actually.
Yeah, no, I would say absolutely. I mean, society to her is a point of humor, even though the rest of us take it too seriously. But she doesn't. And I think you have to allow her, forgive me, that grace. This little girl is a lot more advanced than a good portion of the society that we view, if you will. And I think she's here to, and I got to tell you something else about this young lady. She absolutely seems to be, to me, free of karma. She has no karmic influence on her. So she's just basically here to observe, and I'm going to say observe and go, you guys are crazy. You guys are nuts in what you're doing.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yes, it does make sense, and I do realize the karma, because even as a young child, when people press her, okay, what do you like, vanilla or chocolate? She'd say, I like both. She's always had a system that is inclusory and not exclusive.
Good for her. What you can do, the best you can do with her, is encourage her in every attribute of herself just to be her. Not in comparison and or relationship to other people, but to her.
Okay.
There's the real deal with her. Because for her to match other people is going to be kind of like, you're kidding.
Okay. I needed to hear that.
Right.
It would be like you're kidding, because she would have to lower herself.
Thank you. Perfectly
so
stated,
low,
Nancy. Yeah,
that
perfectly
she's going to be very bored. And just like, you know, Stephen said earlier, you guys are crazy. I mean, she is looking at the world in a total, total different way.
That's,
you know, she has love, she has compassion. She doesn't understand why all of us have to be like we are to each other.
Yes, as a child, I felt that as well. But let me ask you this. Earlier in the year, she about had a nuclear meltdown cry, a really good let the soul out, and she says, I wish people could see that I'm a teacher and that I could help them like you are, but I don't have to wait to be an adult to get that.
Where
people come to me.
There's a cycle that's going on. It's a cycle that occurs, well, it, obviously a cycle is a cycle, but today the teachers are seemingly older, and what it is in essence is she's ahead of the game. It's not, your daughter's going to be impatient all of her life.
Yes, I know that.
Okay. All right. What she has to understand is, if there's a have to, is that her time is going to come, and until that time comes, she can get as impatient as she wants, she can be as impetuous as she wants, none of it is going to matter, because the universe is going to hold her to where she is. If you want to share something with her, share this with her, and this is from Stephen to her, and it's this: she is the universe's best kept secret. Because many people are going to come and they're going to go. There's going to be people that are going to offer input. They're going to be people that are going to offer knowledge. All of that, obviously, is all-inclusive. But the thing about your daughter is her time is not going to come. You ready for this? I'm going to give her a time frame.
Okay.
She has to wait until she's about 35. Now, I really don't want to say to everybody out there, she has to. No, because there's no have to. It's just when people decide to hear her.
Right.
It's like when you look through historical ideas, and somebody says, well, at the age of 31, this was said, or at the age of 50, this was said, and then and only then was it accepted.
Right, yes.
But for your daughter, she is way ahead of her time, which means she's going to be as impatient as you can get and as impetuous as you can get. But the point of fact is this is the universe's plan, and that's simply this, that when she hits her mid-30s, that's when people will understand her.
You know, there are no mistakes, because what you're saying mirrors a lot of my own life. And that there, I do believe that there is a universal timeline for unflowering. And, you know, and my own frustration and even pointing the finger up at God or Source or whoever with that, you know, I now can understand her walk.
All right, you know what? You can point your finger as much as you want, but it really is irrelevant. bless her heart, and forgive me, well, no, I'm not even going to ask that. To me, the Creator is feminine. Why? Because you show me a man that can give birth, and I'll show you God.
Right.
But in the meantime, the truth is this. Feminine nature is exerting herself once more, and that's one of the things that we're seeing in our society. One of the things your daughter has to absolutely appreciate, is the way that I'll say it, is this. That ancient prophecy says that matriarch will return, or a matriarchal society will return. Does that mean feminine will be in control? God, I hope so. Look at what the guys have done with it.
Me too.
But more importantly, it means the sense system is in control. And your daughter is ahead of that curve, and she's leading that curve. But when you're leading a curve, it doesn't mean the curve has caught up to you.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, all I was going to say is what this lovely lady's daughter has to realize is that she's ahead of the curve.
Yeah, one thing that you can do to really help her the most is to have her allow her creativity
Absolutely.
To come through, whether it's painting, drawing, writing, you know, daydreaming, whatever it is, allow it to come through, and have her take notes on herself so that she has kind of like a look back at, again, who she is, because she is ahead of the curve, which means she's not going to have a lot of people at the moment who are going to be there to help her. Rather, they are going to try, quote, to straighten her out. And that's not going to work.
Well put.
Okay.
Nancy,
okay.
I like that. That was courageous.
That's
going to straighten her out.
Strengthen who she is.
Yes.
Understand that the frustration or just I know the impatience. Like, she'd rather, she would want to see the world now. That's the type of child she is. She wants
so
to get
tell
it.
Her, tell her in the world that she wants to see now, paint it, write about it, draw it, whatever it is. Tell her not to try to bobble it up. Tell her not to try to hold it inside. And tell her that when people try, again, quote, to straighten her out, just look at them and smile like she's a cat that swallowed the canary.
Okay. And then any type of guidance on the education, you know, the one that she actually has to go to?
Well,
go ahead, Stephen. I enjoy this. When you're on the phone with a couple of intuitives, it's kind of like, yeah, okay, here we go. I would say in the educational system, and the system meaning as the way we understand it to be today, encourage your daughter, if no other reason, to be herself. Now, I'm going to say something with that. There's a point where we have to use silence as our explanation. In other words, there's times, and you cannot choose this, your daughter has to choose it, is when she's silent and when she's speaking.
Yeah, no, she already uses silence as an explanation already.
Okay, oh, good. All right, but she has to learn to know that there's times when the teachers speak, whether she agrees with them or not,
okay,
totally irrelevant, because your daughter has a wonderful level of perception, is the way I'm going to say it.
Okay.
And if she doesn't allow her own perception to expand, then she's going to allow her own perception to contract.
Oh, I see. So whether she agrees with them or not, she can go ahead and internally say, this is my perception, I'm validating it, and then be silent without arguing with the teacher.
If I can, as a child, I walked up to a priest one day after here. I love to share with people that I'm a recovering Catholic.
As are we.
Okay, bless your heart. I have a great book out there called A Metaphysical Interpretation of the Bible. It's what Christ really wanted us to know. But I walked up to a priest one day, and I said, and keep in mind to your audience, I was about 8 years old, and I said to him, Father, no, this is not Christ. And I got hammered. I got hammered so much that my dad wanted to have me, exercised.
Yes. Yeah.
My dad wanted to have me exercised because I couldn't believe that that's the way this person called the Christ was. And I was 8 years old. Now, I'm keeping in mind, I'm pushing 60. In fact, I am 60 today. Thanks. You think back about the time and the timing. So your daughter has to be cautionary, is my only point, unless she wants to take the fast track. Now, when I say fast track, Galileo was the first person that said the sun didn't go around the earth went around the sun. Why is that important? Simple. He was almost burned at the stake because he said that. When you challenge belief, and your daughter is going to.
Right.
When you challenge belief, you have to be willing to accept the other side of the challenge.
Right. And actually, we went through similar circumstances. I think it was either kindergarten or first grade where she was sitting, she was at Catholic school, and she was sitting in the pew and started dialoguing with the angels that were hanging around, and then I said, well, sweetie, I sat her down and said, this isn't something that you can actually present to the priest or your teacher.
Not to the priest.
And then I said, you let me take care of this, and I had it out with the priest, and we're no longer there, but I recognized early on that I couldn't keep her in that environment because she was seeing the truth, and the truth was not what they were teaching.
Okay.
They haven't taught the truth in a long time, actually.
Right. And that was okay. She was okay with the situation she was in because she had her own little secret, but I didn't want her to be in a situation where someone dumbed her down.
Mm. Good for you. I think that's...
Again, the part when she's trying to be silent, if she just uses her creativity and does something for that, it will make it easier for her to get through what is still yet to come.
You nailed it, Nancy, and I definitely think the creative piece is exceptionally important. And then Dr. Harfield, and just Harfield, I also feel that you just helped me understand the timeline for this child because I threw up my hands and said, I don't know how to help you. I don't know how to make it easier for you or, in a way that you can walk your walk truthfully.
All right, everybody out there, listen. Sometimes we have to allow that child to stumble and fall. Even though we love them from the deepest part of our being and the deepest part of our heart, that that child is going to learn more from stumbling and falling, and I can actually share with every listener out there. That's true for myself. You have to get your nose bent sometimes to say, okay, I can't say it this way, but I can this way. And if we're always busy, lovely one, protecting our children, then the child isn't experiencing what they need to. Even if we don't, and here I'm going to say this, even if we don't agree with what they're experiencing, it's not up to us. It's their individual experience. It's what the Creator said. Okay, you're my child. This is going to be great. I'm going to love it. I'm going to love watching you. But you're not going to like it at all, and here's why. And stuff happens.
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of free will, and even with my own child, and she knows that. She knows that I will let her stumble and fall. She knows.
Okay, well, just let her.
I will. I really appreciate this, and I'll share this information with her. And, you know, I'm sure she'll do with it whatever she wants.
Oh, she's... I got something else to share with you.
Sure.
She's going to do, without hesitation, without question, what she wants. Mm-hmm. Offer the knowledge, and this may sound odd, but not the opinion. Share the knowledge. And then what's going to happen is she will be able to discern, because I'm going to tell you something about your daughter. You share your opinion, she's going to know it's your opinion.
Yeah.
And she's going to know it has nothing to do with knowledge.
She turned around in, I think it was first grade, and told me, or maybe kindergarten, I can't remember which, but she told me she was not going to college. I mean, what child says that?
But she doesn't need to.
Yeah. Well, good, then. I'm glad I don't need to say for it. But I was shocked.
I'm going to tell you why. Your daughter is going to be a therapist of the future. Therapists of the future don't need a piece of paper on the wall that says they don't know what they're talking about. What the teachers and therapists of the future are going to come from is experience. Your daughter is going to have experience. Now, that being said, we could say it's not going to be a walk in the park. It's just going to be your daughter has a wealth of experience, and she's going to be a person that's going to, I don't know if I want to use the phrase of enlightened people, but she's going to look at them and say, look, this is who you are, this is what you become, and this is why this stuff is happening. And she's not going to use flowers, she's not going to use roses, and she's going to tell them exactly as it is.
Yeah, she does with the inner circle, she does.
Well, no. She's going to do that to the stranger on the street.
Yeah, believe me, I know she's biting at the bit to do it already.
But no, just so when she does, let her, and smile and go, that's my cutie. and just let her share what's there, because she's going to sooner or later anyway. More later than sooner, but she's going to get the experience now, and that's the idea. So I think my point is your daughter's life is going to be somewhat intensified as opposed to the average human, if you will.
Right.
So that's a blessing. So look at it as that.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Pleasure. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Now, before we go, because we only have like about 6 minutes left, please give out your website again for the listeners.
It's Hairfield, HAIRFIELD, .com, and of course that's www. And my whole idea in life is to say, hey, we can do much more than we're taught that we can do. And
I like
our
your...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I didn't. Go ahead. Finish.
I was just going to share with people that... we are the epitome of what the Creator had as its intention, if you will. We are just like it. And I think when everybody can understand that, Nancy, our world will be different.
It will be so much happier. What I was going to say is I liked your little comment about the psychiatrist and have the little paper on the wall that don't know what they're talking about.
Absolutely.
That was
good. Yeah, let me ask you something. Would you go, let's say you had a drug problem, would you go to a person that had never had a drug problem
No.
to help you resolve your drug problem?
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't. But that's
so
what people do.
Do. Yes.
And it's not the way. It doesn't work.
No. Never has.
Well, it won't work because the person can't be honest.
Well, maybe because they can only talk from theory, not
mm-hmm.
from truth.
Right. No, I'm talking about the person going there. Can't really be honest because the other person isn't able
there
to
you
relate.
Go. I love it. Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
You know, that's real important for people to understand. People have this great innate ability to truly heal themselves, mm-hmm. but it starts again as basics, as liking yourself, loving yourself, accepting your experiences as yourself.
Let me ask you a question, and I'd like everybody out there to consider this. If the idea of oneness is real, then how can there be illness and health? How can there be happiness and sadness? Intrinsically enough, when we look at nighttime and daytime, we call it a day. Yet there's no error or dilemma with either side of the darkness or the light. But when we look within ourselves, we find a way to create the error.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
Thanks.
Now, again, give out your website because we're almost going to go off air.
Hairfield, HairField.com. And take a look at my books. You'll like them.
And I'm going to call you back when we're done because I want to talk about some other things with you, too. But I have one other question for you.
Huh?
If people today would just allow their own self, their own creativity, their own being to really come through, do you really think that our world as we know it would be as difficult as it is?
Bless your heart. What we're seeing in our world today is a recognition of what you just asked. What we're seeing is the fruition of the birth of the divine human, where we have a world where there's no problem, where there's no issue, where life is simply is Christed as we all already are. That's my answer.
And that's a good one. You know, people talk about 2012, and you know, it's like, the world is going to end, the world's not going to end, folks.
No.
It's just going to be this change that we've been talking about this entire hour, and people need to get that, don't you think?
I absolutely, totally agree. And everybody out there listening, think of it this way. If infinity is what it is, then there could be no end if no reason, infinity itself. Why? Because if infinity ended, then infinity would be an illusion.
Mm-hmm. That was good. It's been great having you as my guest. We're going to have to do this again because it went by way too quick.
I would love it.
Me too. And I would like to thank the lady who called in because she had real interesting points that, you know, we got to talk about with these kids today. And again, that's my thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope everybody has a wonderful, wonderful Christmas, and we'll talk before the new year comes in. But you said it was your birthday, so again, I'd like to wish you a happy birthday.
Yeah, me and Christ. Who knows?
That's all right. That's
pretty arrogant, I'd say.
That's all right, you know?
It is. Thanks for having me, Nancy.
You're very welcome. Thanks for being on, and thank all the listeners. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have. Take care. Bye now.